Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Cosmos Magazine Summer 2018, Episode 3. Now, what's happening in terms of rehab is that it's like traditional practicing for an exam or anything like that. Once you practice, you gain up speed, and then once you go up speed, you can actually fit more into your practice. And I'm trying to aim for 45 minutes a podcast, and that will mean that I can actually get through magazines faster and things like that. So we're up in the what still appears to be the what's it? I forgot what it's actually called. These are the small articles. Let's see if I can recall what it's called. Sorry, forgive me as I go through here. It's the poor makes sense. Digest. Why did I say A something or other? Okay, now it's, this article is actually by an author. The earlier small articles aren't. And now it's Written All Over Your Face is the title. It's in technology. Facial recognition technology is a booming business driven primarily by government interest in surveillance. Corporations are investing in it for commercial purposes. Scientists, however, see other potential applications, both good and bad. Tim Wallace faces four of them, so there are 4 points here. One, how art thou? Is the Lady with Flowers a marble bust by Florentine artist Andrea della Vergine circa 1475, the same woman as the lady in the window in a painting by Sandro Botticelli from about the same time? Such issues are of intense interest to historians. I can't read this, unfortunately, because this is right. It's actually white ink on a white cloud. The passage of time shrouds the identity of many once famous subjects in still famous artworks. The subjectivity of art, artistic license, styles and conventions complex even identifying the same faces in different artworks. To overcome this, art historian Conrad Rudolph, the University of California, Riverside, has led a project called Faces, Art and Computerized Evaluation Systems, Faces of course, to test the value of machine analysis identifying faces in portrait art. The project is ongoing, but the initial results have shown promise. And yes, the computer-based analysis does support the view the two ladies, despite their distinctly different artistic personas, are the one and the same. Well, gee, as long as she doesn't come back to say that's a problem. The second point, this is supposed to be the scientific benefits of face recognitions. Taking a photo of a child's face may one day be as normal as part of pediatric health care as a doctor listening to their lungs. Maris George Lingaru of Sheikh Zayed Institute of Pediatric Surgical Innovation in Washington, D.C., has led the development of digital face analysis technology to diagnose genetic disorders in children. The technology could assure the earliest possibility of intervention for medical care. It has proven highly accurate in identifying Down syndrome, a disorder caused by an extra chromosome 21, and much rarer DeGeorge syndrome caused by deletion of a small fragment of chromosome 22. While these conditions lead to a characteristic facial deformities, even experienced clinicians can have trouble identifying them in young children, particularly from different ethnic backgrounds. Two other rare diseases affecting children, Williams syndrome and Noonan syndrome, are the next in line for testing. So it's 23 chromosomes that you have. The last chromosome is your X or the Y. So men actually have 24. Yeah, I don't know how they do this, but men have 24 chromosomes because they've got an X and a Y chromosome, whereas women just have two X's. What can you say? Three, love match. Could a broad range of psychological traits and performance be detectable by facial features? Oh, God. Two researchers at Stanford University believe so. To prove the case, Michael Kowalski and Yulian Wang have used artificial intelligence to extract features from thousands of facial images posted on dating sites and created algorithms to predict their sexual orientation. Oh, my God. They report the ability to correctly pick from a single facial image preferences of men in 81% of cases and women in 71% of cases. Even higher results, 91 and 83, respectively, came from five images. The findings are controversial, with one of the stronger criticisms being that dating site pictures may reflect stereotypes. Concerns were not only false readings, but correct readings being used to discriminate. The researchers admit to agonizing about the public, about going public with their findings, but stand by the stark warning of the privacy threat from facial recognition algorithms able to detect intimate traits. Oh dear. Okay, let's go to item number four. State of the art, artifice. Speculators and spies have long been interested in reading the thoughts of government officials. None are more scrutinized than those who set interest rates, as features can be made calling a rate change before as fortunes can be before official announcements. Two Japanese researchers, Yoshiyuki Sumon and Daichi Isami, have used artificial intelligence to analyze half a second changes in expressions of the Bank of Japan's governor Harukiyo Kuroda. Although Kuroda thought to remain inscrutably neutral at press conferences, the software identified fleeting signs of, interpreted as betraying the true underlying feelings. Those micro-expressions indicated pessimism about the economy. The researchers say they predicted significant policy changes in line with that. Kuroda has since laughed off the suggestion his facial recognition could be used to reveal the innermost thoughts. Tsuruma and Ishami have yet to reveal what artificial intelligence has to say about that. So artificial intelligence, it doesn't matter how stupid it is, they can just actually say it's okay. Now, meets the art, it's a beautiful artistic story, but I'm actually going to skip that because you need to see the photograph with it. And there's artists like Daniel Zeller and Xavier Cordata, which means I'm going through this rather quickly. Now, here's these very good articles called Viewpoint by Norman Swan, Katie Mack, Paul Berger, and Alan Finkel in general. It's possible you can look past the yuck factor. Now, these are the these cute, a guide to what is good, emotions have a very good, as a guide to what is good, emotions have a very checkered history. Paul Belling, the thinker. Okay, now this article here is Body Talk by Norman Swan, and it says, no, in quotes, pure reason to dig into butter. Findings upending guidelines on fat demand scrutiny. In the 1970s, doctors declared that saturated fat, the sort found in butter, meat, was the villain behind the epidemic of heart disease in Western countries. Carbohydrates in order, on the other hand, were considered relatively harmless. In the mid-2017, one of the largest ever studies of diet, prospective urban and rural epidemiology, PURE study, upended the view. Published in The Lancet, it found saturated fats was associated with lower mortality, while higher intakes of carbs was linked with higher mortality. Quote, our findings do not support the current recommendation to limit the total in fat to less than 30% of the energy and saturated fat to less than 10% of that energy, said the lead investigator Masjid Dehang of McMaster University in Ontario, Canada. No sugar is toxic. So sugar is toxic and saturated fat is back on the menu. Some nutritionists are even arguing we should be stirring butter into our morning coffee. What has caused about face, and will there be a swing back again? The trouble began in the 1970s, and Cell Key showed a clear link between dietary intake to saturated fat and heart disease in what became known as his seven country studies. The problem was that the official national guidelines simplified the message. People were told to lower the total amount of all types of fats in the diet, even though Key's studies had shown that the fatty olive oil-rich Mediterranean diet protected against heart disease. Following official advice, people substituted missing fat calories with carbs. It was only in 2005 that a US guidelines focused on different types of fat. Saturated and trans fat was still bad for the health, but unsaturated fats like those in olive oils and nuts were good. In the past 3 years, the entire edifice of the saturated fat theory has come under attack. Studies like the one published by Rajiv Chowdhury of March 2014 in the Annals of International Medicine found that reduced saturated fat intake did not greatly lower the heart disease. That June, the cover of Time exhorted us to eat butter. But there were problems with Chowdhury's story. The study did not take into account people were trading saturated fats for piles of pasta, rice, white bread and sugar. On the other hand, in 2015, Cochrane Review of Clinical Trials found clear benefit from trading saturated fat for unsaturated fat. Lifestyle advice, it said, is, quote, should continue to include permanent reduction in dietary saturated fat and partial replacement by unsaturated fats. Biological research has been playing catch-up to the clinical evidence. Heart disease seemed quite simple. You had high-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol, which removed cholesterol from the arteries, and low-density lipoprotein and cholesterol, which deposited it. Triglycerides, another type of fat, seemed weakly linked with heart disease and stroke. It became more complicated for LDLs due its damage. The artery wall needs to be oxidized, the biological equivalent of rusting, which means the antioxidants in foods such as polyphenols and lipopenes are important. Lipose are the phenols are the six-membered ring things, and let me see, what's the other? Polyphenols and lycopenes. I don't know what lycopenes are. Would that be? I know that lycopenes cause the cells to swell and blow up. Okay, but I don't understand if that's true. It's also realized that LDLs travel in your bloodstream in particles. The smaller the particles, the more dangerous the LDL. And what makes LDL particles small? Refined carbs and triglyceride levels. Then comes along pure studies. This seven-year study involved a fair number of people, 135,000 people in 18 countries across five continents. Unlike Key's seven country studies, which drew data from affluent countries, this study included a range. The findings were exactly opposite of those found by Key's. High carbohydrate intake is associated with higher risk of mortality, whereas low total fat and individual types of fat were related to lower mortality. The Harvard School of Public Health analysis suggested one reason why. High carb intake may indicate a poverty diet. In other words, researchers might have been comparing diets of very poor people with diets of more affluent. Poverty itself is a key risk factor of mortality. PURE, being a questionnaire-based rather than a clinical trial, could also not take full account of the micronutrients or specific types of food and diets. Are PURE results relevant to the affluent countries? Possibly not. Indeed, Dehane says, we believe dietary guidelines recommend for one population may not be beneficial for another. Personally, I'm not shoveling butter onto my latte. Most researchers in the field agree on is that Mediterranean diet has the best health credentials. So I'm seeing you on the white veranda in Crete over olives, fish and lots of vegetables and a welcome glass of wine. So it just means that you've got to possibly take studies, especially from the 70s, with a grain of salt. Astro Katie. So it says, Katie Mack is a theoretical astrophysicist who focuses on finding new ways to learn about the early universe and fundamental physics. How colliding neutron stars proved all are equal before the laws of gravity. The scene. Pisa, Italy, late 16th century. Galileo Galilei enters a famous leaning tower. He climbs the steps, trailed by his students carrying two metal balls of different weights. He steps out onto the top of the balcony, 15 metres above the ground, and holds the balls over a tilted rail. He lets go. According to Aristotle's theory of gravity, the heavier ball should fall faster. Galileo has set out to prove this wrong. The collected crowd watches the two balls fall through the air and hit the ground simultaneously. Well, I must say that's a scene, and it's a construction scene, but we don't know whether it actually did happen. It is interesting, actually, looking at Galileo. He uses cannonballs all the time. Cannonballs is his go-to thing. Okay, now it is unknown whether Galileo ever did go up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's something so surely he must have done it. I must admit, I was very lucky in the 1975 to go up the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You can't do it nowadays. It's a very interesting thing to keep on going around those spiral staircases. Galileo's legendary experiment is considered one of the first demonstrations of the equivalence principles, the idea gravitational fields don't discriminate. On Earth, this means all falling objects will fall the same way. In the cosmos, combined with Einstein's general relativity, explains the near simultaneous arrivals of two signals from an explosion that happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Well, that's I think it's this is 130 million years ago. That's a galaxy far, far away. Yeah. Okay. Because it's 2 million, years to get to Andromeda. Okay. So you are right, but I think if I read, firstly, it's not 130 million years ago, is it 130 million parsecs, which is a different story that's going back here. So this is good if my brain's correct, but I don't think it's going to go back here. Okay, it says years away. Okay, so that's correct. It's 130 million years. So that's a pretty astonishing distance. That is a galaxy far, far away. Let's see if I can... Sorry, Astrocator, you are right on that one. For some reason, I said parsecs. I don't know why that got into my head. Jupiter and Strahd, mind-bendingly dense remnants of stars long dead, are locked in an orbit so tight that gravity warps them into a teardrop shape. Whirling around their common centers of mass, they stretch towards each other. Space itself is caught up in the motion, sending powerful ripples of distortion outwards. The stars spiral in. At an instant of contact, they create a space-time tsunami, which spreads like a spherical shock front from a detonation. The stars merge, and within seconds, the newly combined star collapses on itself, driving a jet of hard radiation with an incredible ferocity. It punches through the stellar carcass and begins tearing across the galaxy. The gravitational distortion from this event was detected by LIGO and Virgo observatories and the gamma ray flash by the Fermi Space Telescope. The signals came within 2 seconds of each other. The near simultaneous direction of the signals, that's after 3 million years, 130 million years of travelling, is another confirmation that the principle as old as Galileo is yet has huge implications for our theories of gravity and possibly dark matter and dark energy. You may as well throw those in, I suppose, if no one's going to question you. Gravitational waves, the kind of space-time distortion created by neutron star collisions, was first predicted by Einstein in 1915 and first detected by LIGO 100 years later. Did he actually do waves in his general relativity? I don't know. I think it may have actually come a bit after that, but let's go with it. Central to Einstein's picture of gravity is the idea that everything with mass warps the fabric of space, so every planet... I'll have to really go back and really study my tenses again. Covariant, contravariant. Stars or galaxies create a kind of dent. When massive Oh dear, that's really bad. When massive objects orbit each other, they create ripples in the fabric gravitational waves. Einstein predicted these waves would travel at the speed of light. We really had evidence for this, but the neutron star explosion was a direct confirmation, since the gravitational signal and the light signal travelled 130 million years and arrived virtually at the same time. The simultaneous arrival wasn't guaranteed. Even if the speeds were the same, the space between us and the distant galaxy is warped with gravitational divots due to the masses along the way, including the original galaxy and our own. The equivalent principle states that gravitational waves and light should follow the same curved space, driving in and out of those dents, being delayed a little by each diversion. In this case, the delay might have been months or even years, but however, it was exactly the same time for both, or within 2 seconds. The implication: lots of theories just died a spectacular death. The new theory of gravity that breaks the equivalence principle have been proposed to solve problems like dark matter and dark energy. Instead, the invisible matter making galaxies rotate too quickly, or mysterious stuff make, well, it's not too, I suppose it's, no, it's not the whole galaxies rotating too quickly, the outer parts of the galaxies, well, I don't know. Okay. Perhaps disagree with the way that's been. Instead of the invisible matter making galaxies rotate too quickly, or mysterious stuff making the universe expand faster, some alternatives conjecture that gravity acts differently than we thought. These theories often have light and gravity following different paths through space to explain differences between what we see and what general relativity predicts without dark matter and dark energy. We know that doesn't work. It may be possible to find a new theory of gravity, but at least in regard to the equivalence principle, it has to be exact the way Einstein proposed. There are still things we don't know. Exactly what delayed the gamma rays by those 2 seconds is still up for debate. Whether Galileo really climbed the famous tower himself is lost in history. Well, I don't think so. But both experiments were spectacular demonstrations of the radical universality of gravity, which expands the edges of our understanding of the universe. Oh, it's lovely put the way I put it there.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.